Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Ze'ev Ben Chava, Harav Meir Kahana, Bari Hoffman, Reuven Hoffman, and Yosef Ben Meir. We have two subjects we want to discuss on this week's program, two important subjects. One is a brewing scandal that we've seen in the past week in Israel regarding work on the Sabbath, work on Shabbat, on the Israeli railroad system. And it's a scandal that might bring down the Netanyahu government if the government is brought down under their parliamentary system, if the government is brought down, if the coalition breaks apart, we have new elections, or we can have new elections in Israel. We're going to discuss that first, and then we're going to discuss Donald Trump's big immigration speech and what a disaster it is, and the pro-amnesty proposals that he's made, the touchback amnesty, and just it's just really, really tragic that people don't want to face reality, don't want to face the fact that we have two pro-amnesty candidates running for president. But first, let's discuss what's happening in Israel. This past week, we learned that illegal work was done with taxpayer dollars on the Jewish Sabbath, on Shabbat, on the Israeli railroad system. Now, why is it illegal? Because there are agreements that the government made with the religious parties not to have work done on Shabbat, not to have work done on the Jewish Sabbath with taxpayer dollars. Why? Because one-third of Israeli taxpayers are religious, and they don't want their taxpayer dollars going to work that's done in violation of the Jewish religion, in violation of the Torah and the commandments of the Torah. They don't want their taxpayer dollars used for that. And they're about a third of the taxpayers in Israel. So, by law, you have what's called the status quo agreements in Israel, where there wasn't supposed to be any work on the Sabbath. But Transportation Secretary Yisrael Katz, or Yisrael Katz, they pronounce it Yisrael Katz in Hebrew. He is a Likudnik and very secular, and he didn't give a damn one way or the other. And so he allowed this work to go on. Then he exposed it to people in the religious parties to try to create a scandal because he himself wanted to create a problem so that he could bring down Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his government, because he wants Netanyahu to be thrown out of power so that he could replace Netanyahu. He wants to be prime minister. So the whole thing is just a lot of political intrigue and political backstabbing from the various Likud ministers, because all the Likud ministers, all the members of the Likud cabinet, are all political prostitutes. There's not one honest person in the Israeli cabinet today. All the cabinet members in the Likud and in the other parties are all political frauds, every single one of them. Every single one of them put their own narrow, opportunistic political careers above the survival of the interest for the very survival of the Jewish people. They're not interested in Jewish survival. They're not interested in Jewish values. They're not interested in principles. They're only interested in what is going to advance their narrow, petty little political careers. That's true for Yisrael Katz, that's true for all the Likud members, it's true for all the members of the Jewish Home Party, and the Israel is our home party, Yisrael Beiteinu, Habayit HaYehudi, Shas, all of them are like that. And certainly Netanyahu is like that. So, this created a big scandal and a big feud between Netanyahu and his own transportation minister from his own party, Yisrael Katz. Yisrael Katz is trying to cause problems for Netanyahu because he wants to replace him, and Netanyahu wants to fire Yisrael Katz, and there's a big dispute back and forth. I don't want to get into all the political back and forth here. I've given you some details on it, but I don't want to get into too much of it except to say it's all dirty politics. The bottom line is, work was done on Shabbat, illegally. Even though agreements and promises were made that this wasn't going to be done with taxpayer dollars, we're not going to be used to do work on Shabbat in public. You wouldn't have public transportation and public works being done on Shabbat. That's supposed to be the law in the state of Israel. All of these agreements have been violated, and the so-called religious parties, they don't do anything about it. They're complete phonies, too. They were forced publicly to respond. The media and everybody inquired, so they were forced to respond. But they're not going to they don't really want to bring down the government over this, because the only thing Shas and Yahadut HaTorah, the Shas is the so-called Sephardic Haredi party, and Yahadut HaTorah is a so-called Ashkenazi Haredi party. The only thing they're interested in is getting bribes, getting bribery, literally bribery from the government for their institutions, for their various institutions that they run. That's the only thing they're interested in. Government money for their institutions. They will sell out the whole Jewish people just to get money for their institutions. And then they call themselves religious. The only honest one we had was Morenu v'Rabbeinu Harav Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo. And perhaps Moshe Feiglin. Moshe Feiglin was in the Knesset for a while. I would say, even though we have some differences of opinion with him on some issues, he's honest. He's honest. But it is so rare to find honest Israeli politicians. It is so unusual and so rare. Just like it's very rare to find honest American politicians. We believe that Ted Cruz is a rare exception. He's an example of Ted Cruz, I believe, is a very honest, principled politician in America. Rabbi Kahana was very honest and principled in Israel, and I think Moshe Feiglin, who is planning to run for the Knesset in the next elections, I think he's basically an honest, principled person as well, which again is super, super unusual, super rare in Israeli politics, just as it is super rare in the politics of America and unfortunately every other country. Politicians are generally low-life, dishonest crooks. Liars, crooks, backstabbers, opportunists, and frauds. That's what politicians usually are. That it's a dirty business, and these are dirty people. So when you get a good one, you should, you know, when you get a good honest one, of course, it's a rare opportunity to support a good honest one, and people should support the few honest people that may be in politics, and they're very few. Now, what I really want to spend a few minutes speaking about, though, is they're using this to bash the religious Jews. Oh, look at this! They're holding up work on the railroad, and because of this, now we can't have travel between Tel Aviv and Haifa, Tel Aviv and Haifa. We can't have travel between Tel Aviv and Haifa by railroad. This is inconvenient for us on the Sabbath. They don't want us traveling now. This is terrible. And so they're attacking, viciously attacking and engaging in a hate campaign led by the anti-Semitic Israeli news media. The Jewish anti-Semites of the anti-Semitic Israeli news media are leading a campaign against religious Jews. An anti-Torah, anti-Jewish campaign led by self-hating Jews who run the Israeli news media. If only we had listened to Rabbi Kahana. Rabbi Kahana said, and this was the brilliant part of his platform that is so perfect, and that is it's our platform too, if we ever get to run in Israel, it's our platform. Rabbi Kahana said the first and most important thing in his platform is that he is going to give a Jewish education to Jewish children. Every Jewish child in Israel will receive a Jewish education, will learn about Torah and mitzvot. Mitzvot are the commandments, the 613, Tariag HaMitzvot are the 613 commandments that the Jews have in the Torah. And every Jewish child in Israel will learn about Tariag HaMitzvot. Every Jewish child in Israel will learn about this. Now, if we were doing this, if we Kahanas were in power and we were doing this, we would not impose laws requiring Jews in Israel, requiring secular Jews in Israel to obey the Torah commandments. We would not do that. We would not force people to obey the Sabbath and to obey laws like Kashrut, which is the kosher laws and so on. We wouldn't force people. We would not do that. But we would make sure that every Jewish kid at least knows what these laws are. We'd make it part of the educational curriculum. They already have Bible study in the curriculum, but they're taught, the Jewish kids are taught Tanakh, the Bible. They're taught the Tanakh, the Bible, by anti-religious teachers, most of whom are socialists or communists, who themselves know nothing about really don't know anything about the Tanakh, don't understand the meanings of it, don't want to understand because they're self-hating Jews, they're self-hating leftists. That's the Israeli educational system controlled by the left. Rabbi Kahana wanted to change all that. He said that we have to have courses in school, just like you have courses on mathematics And just like you have to teach kids, you have to teach them math and science and computers and technology and all the other important subjects that kids learn nowadays. You got to teach them all of that, yes. And you got to teach them Judaism. You got to teach them about their own heritage. Judaism, Torah, Tanakh, Talmud, Mishnah, all of this. There have to be courses on this. Now, kids would not be forced to observe the commandments, but they would be required, they'd be tested on it, required to show that at least they have knowledge, at least they know what the commandments are, at least they would know what the Torah says, at least they know what Judaism stands for. At least they'd understand Jewish values, Jewish morals, and the brilliance of Jewish teaching. At least they would be taught this in school. And they would have to be taught by religious, truly faithful teachers. In other words, the teachers would have to be people who themselves believe in the Torah and understand what the Torah means and have enough knowledge to be able to conduct a classroom, to be able to conduct a course in a class. And it would be a serious course, just like you have math, science, computers, all the other things you learn in school today. You have all that you would continue to have all of those courses, of course. But you'd also have a Judaism course, which teaches you about your heritage and the religious beliefs and the religious traditions of the Jewish people. It would be up to the Jewish kids, after learning that, to decide for themselves if they want to embrace the magnificent faith of their forefathers and become religious Jews. Rabbi Kahana believed, and I believe, the vast majority would choose to become religious Jews, would choose the course of Judaism after being exposed to the beauty of the Torah and the magnificence of the commandments and just the beautiful Jewish way of life. When receiving such an education and just going through the course, again, they'd be free not to choose it, but I think most of them would choose to become religious. And it would change completely change the nature of the Jewish state and the Jewish homeland. It would make Israel a truly Jewish state and a truly Jewish society. It would turn the Jewish people into what they were destined to be, a light unto the nations and a holy nation and a nation of priests, a nation that will serve as the enlighteners to show the world that there is a God, that God controls the destiny of human beings and controls the destiny of every nation, controls everything that happens in this world. And understanding that and with reasoning, though, and the brilliance and Jewish brilliance and reasoning, not just making a general statement, but with the brilliance, I mean, anyone who studies the Gemara, who studies the Talmud, knows the unbelievable, genius, magnificent, ingenious explanations. And especially if you study, you have to know Hebrew to really know a lot of it would be hard for people not Hebrew speakers to even understand the meanings of words and the Torah, because the Torah has every single word, every single letter. There are 70 different meanings, at least 70 different layers of learning for every story in the Torah. At least 70. 70 panim la Torah. It's so complex and so powerful and so astounding to someone who learns it. And so we would have people who believe, who would be teaching these kids. Can you imagine what type of country we would have? What type of country we'd build? And we're not like the crazy people who say, well, let's just study this and let's not teach them computers and let's not teach them math and science and other subjects. No, of course we wouldn't say that. They would learn all of it. They'd have a full curriculum and they would come out brilliant and they'd be religious and they would really, really be what the Jewish people are supposed to be in modern society. And they would be a light unto the nations and once the Jewish people, once the majority of the Jewish people return to the Torah and embrace the Torah, that in and of itself probably would bring the final redemption, probably would bring HaGeulah HaShlema VeHaSofit, the final and complete redemption for Israel and for the world. So this is what Rabbi Kahana wanted to do. When Rabbi Kahana was banned from running for the Knesset because he stood for these things, when they anti-democratically and fascistically told him, you're not allowed to run for the Knesset, you're not allowed to say these things. That's supposed to be a democracy, by the way. They didn't allow him to run. Arab terrorists, for decades, have served in the Knesset and praised terrorism and call for the destruction of Israel. They're allowed to run and do anything they want and call for genocide against the Jewish people. Rabbi Kahana was banned from running for the Knesset and not allowed to say, not allowed to advocate for truly Jewish policies. When they banned Rabbi Kahana, this is what we lost. Someone who stood for these things. Someone who would have pushed this agenda. And he was a catalyst. He would have gotten people to go along with this agenda. He eventually would have gotten, he eventually would have created a situation where there would be tremendous pressure to create a curriculum like this in the educational system. What a different world this would be if Rabbi Kahana had not been banned. And of course, because he was banned, he didn't have any guards anymore. When he went to public speaking, he was a very courageous man. He went to public speaking anyway. He had a public event. And he eventually was murdered by Al-Qaeda terrorists. He wouldn't have been murdered by Al-Qaeda terrorists if he had been a Knesset member. If he hadn't been banned from running for the Israeli parliament, for the Israeli Knesset, he wouldn't have been murdered. Because he would have been guarded. And the Al-Qaeda terrorist who got through with a gun would never have gotten through. So this is what we lost when they banned Rabbi Kahana and murdered Rabbi Kahana. And they by banning Rabbi Kahana, they murdered him. They opened him up to being murdered by Al-Qaeda terrorists. They are responsible. His blood is on their hands, just like the blood of many, many other Jews who've been slaughtered by Arab terrorists whom they support and arm and finance. The blood of many, many Jews is on the hands of the Erev Rav traitors who run the state of Israel. Those are the political leaders and the political parties that we're opposing. And that's what we're standing against. And Rabbi Kahana would have replaced all of them with good and loyal and true and faithful Jews who would have taught Jews what it really means to be a Jew, what it really means to be part of the heritage of such a great people and such a magnificent destiny that the Jewish people were given by Almighty God, who called the Jewish people. God said that Israel is the apple of his eye and chose the Jews out of all nations, it says in the Bible, again, to be a light unto the nations and a holy nation and a nation of priests. What a different world we could have if Rabbi Kahana had lived and had been able to pursue this great agenda. Anyway, that's Israel. And that's the difficult situation that we have in Israel today. I don't know if it's, I don't think this is going to lead to the collapse of the Netanyahu government, though you never know. I think the Netanyahu government will continue, unfortunately, will continue to survive. I would like to see the government fall. But of course, when there are new elections and when the government does fall, then of course, you know, we're going to look at and see whom, if there's anybody that we can support in those elections, and we're going to try to influence events in Israel. In the meantime, of course, we are already with our posts, our social media posts, and our videos, and all the other things we're doing in Hebrew, we're already influencing and trying to influence Israelis and bring them a message that nobody else brings them. The things that I just told you about in this message here, nobody else speaks this way. Nobody else brings the message the way we do to the people of Israel. And I think you'll agree it's very important that this message be heard by the people of Israel. That's Israel. Now, in the United States, I hate doing pessimistic videos, but I am really, you know, when I look at Donald Trump's immigration speech, and I see that he calls for touchback amnesty and for complete, in every way, amnesty. In every way, he's calling for amnesty. He's saying that the people who are here illegally, he said, first of all, he said, the so-called toughest part of his plan is that they have to temporarily go back to their country, their native country, and then fly back here and become legalized. All they do is touch back on their native country, then they fly back here, and now they're legal. And this is a nightmare. And his supporters and tens of millions of people following him don't understand what that means. You know, when I see that, I become very pessimistic about the future of America. I really do. When I see the stupidity, the ignorance, It really, really makes me pessimistic. I don't even have to tell you that Hillary Clinton supports amnesty. She certainly does. As does Barack Hussein Obama and the whole Democrat Party. They all support amnesty. They're all traitors. They're scum. And then the Republican Party, we would have hoped that at least in the Republican Party, there would be some hope, some resistance. Otherwise, America's completely finished. Otherwise, America's finished. Because if you're going to have amnesty and you're going to allow people to come in illegally, then America's days are numbered. America can't survive that way. America will be taken over by third world people. And America won't be America anymore. It's as simple as that. And I really, you know, I really become pessimistic now. I've become pessimistic. And it bothers me tremendously when I see people being so damn stupid. I mean, don't they understand what Trump is proposing? He's saying at the most he may make them go back temporarily and then come back and be legal after that. And even that he may not do. And I think he's not even going to do that. Because he says in his proposal, we haven't figured out exactly how we're going to handle it. If they haven't committed a crime, you know, he's open to letting them stay here. He's made that clear. He's open to letting them stay here. He's not talking about mass deportations anymore. He's not talking about that. The only people that he says should be deported are people who are convicted of crimes. The vast majority of them were not convicted of crimes. That means the vast majority of them can stay here. And by the way, when he says that, Hillary Clinton has the same exact position. She also claims that she's going to get rid of the people here who are convicted of crimes. She says the same thing. Obama says the same thing. Obama has deported 2 million people. During the time he's been president, he's deported 2 million people. But that's not enough. Because they're coming in faster than he's deporting them. And under Trump's proposal, they're going to continue to come in even faster. Now, think about this, all of you people out there that are supporting Trump. Think about this, and maybe you'll understand why I'm so pessimistic. Why you make me pessimistic about the future of America. You've made me really pessimistic. I mean, I had high hopes that maybe with Ted Cruz we'd have a chance, because Ted Cruz was really against amnesty and really was a solid leader who was a man of principle. And so I had some hope with Ted Cruz. But you've really, you know, when I see the unbelievable stupidity of people, it makes me pessimistic about the future of America. I'll tell you why. Think about this. I mean, think about this seriously. If Donald Trump puts his proposal in place, and let's say he says you got to go back temporarily and then come back legal, and then you can fly back and legally and you're legal when you fly back. Let's say that he does that, which, by the way, again, I don't think he's even going to do that. And he's made it clear that he may not do that. He's made it clear that we haven't decided yet what we're going to consider it. You know, we have to consider what we do once we secure the border, which is the same talk the Democrats and everybody else uses. They all promise to secure the border, and then they're going to have, and then they're going to allow amnesty. But anyway, let's assume the toughest part of his plan, where he tells them they got to go back, and then he says, but then he says they can come back legally and become legal once they go back. Think about that. Would you rather have them here now illegally? Or would you rather have them go back and then come back and become legalized? He's legalizing by doing that millions of illegal aliens from the third world. Is that what you want? What are you, crazy? You don't understand what a disaster that is? Are you crazy? Of course I'd rather have them here illegally. At least there's some hope that they'll get deported or that they won't be able to do the damage that can be done. If you legalize them, then we lose all hope. That's just one thing. Think about that now. Think about that. Think about if he puts his plan into action, it's much worse than what we have now. And what we have now is terrible. Terrible. And think about this. And think about it honestly. Don't say, I'm going to close my mind and I'm just going to blindly follow Donald Trump, because that's what you're doing. Your Trump supporters, you're just blindly following him. Think about what he's actually proposing. Think about this now. If you are a third world person who wants to come to the United States, or is thinking about coming to America, Europe, or some other country, and you're figuring out, which country should I go to? Where should I go? You're from Africa, you're from Latin America, Asia, some third world country, and you're thinking about coming in, and you don't want to go through any legal process, so you would come in illegally, and you're figuring, where can I go and I'll get amnesty? If you knew, if Trump became president, God forbid, and you knew that the new law, the new policy is, you just have to come in illegally, and then you fly back to your country temporarily, and then you can fly back again, and now you're legal. If you knew that was all you had to do, don't you think that will encourage millions of people to do just that? Don't you think millions of people are going to do that? I guarantee you they're going to do that. I guarantee you. And our predictions, by the way, have come true over the years. Our predictions have come true. We predicted 9/11. I mean, we predicted all of these things. I mean, our predictions have been very accurate. I guarantee you that if Trump implements this policy of saying, you just go back to the country temporarily and touch back amnesty, and then you can fly back to America again, and now you're legal. Because you went back temporarily, and now you can come in legally. I guarantee you that that will encourage millions of people, millions of additional people from the third world countries to come flooding into America. That's a dream come true for them. And their dream is our nightmare. And Jews better wake up. Because Trump, you know why you Jews better wake up? Because Trump and Clinton are both amnesty candidates. We're not going to have, America is going to be completely against us now. The third world people that are becoming the majority are anti-Semites. They're all against us. The only people that supported us in this country were the white evangelical Christians. And they are about to be heavily, heavily outnumbered now. So we will have no relationship with the United States will be just as hostile to us as Europe, as anywhere else, as any of the other countries of the world. So Israel had better have a plan for independence, for true military and economic independence. Because America is going to turn against Israel when the third world hordes take over the United States. That's it. Forget about it. They are very anti-Israel and very anti-Semitic. Just like all the third world countries they come from, they come with anti-Semitic. And a lot of them are Muslims. A lot of the people that are flooding in here are Muslims. So, you Jews better wake up and understand that we're not going to have America supposedly is not as hostile as Europe. It's not the same. It's going to be the same. Well, Obama, by the way, Obama, of course, is a Jew hater. Hillary Clinton's a Jew hater. And Donald Trump is anti-Israel. Donald Trump is completely, his proposals are completely anti-Israel. But we won't even have a chance of changing things. When the third world people become the majority, we'll have no chance. Because they're not going to listen to anything we have to say. They hate Jews. They're jealous of Jews. They hate Israel. They support the Arab Muslims who want to destroy Israel. The third world people. When they become a majority of America's population, forget it! So that's why we have to convince the people of Israel to get ready to become militarily and economically independent. Because it doesn't matter if Trump or Clinton, either one of them, they're moving us toward amnesty. The difference is with Clinton, we know what we're getting. At least we'll be prepared, we'll fight back. With Trump, the idiots who support him are getting amnesty, but they've convinced themselves that they're not getting amnesty, even though it's in black and white that what he's advocating is amnesty. Ted Cruz tried to warn us about this. Nobody wanted to listen. And there are other conservatives, by the way, who have warned that what Trump is proposing is amnesty. There are other conservatives who said this, but his supporters don't want to know. So we've got to have an Israel that is, and Israel can easily become militarily and economically independent if they just have the will. But their leaders don't have the will, so that's why it's so important that we reach the people of Israel with our message, urging them to do this, urging them to end U.S. so-called foreign aid and become truly independent, manufacture their own weapons, have their own weapon sales agreements with various countries in the world without giving the United States the power of veto over their weapon sales, have their own trade policies without giving veto power to Washington. Israel has to have a truly independent policy and independent relations with the other countries of the world. That is the only way Israel is going to flourish and survive. Anyway, I think you know that our message is important. You don't hear this. Do you hear this anywhere else? You don't hear this being said anywhere else by anybody else. That's why it's so important that we reach people and wake people up in Israel and in America. Help us. Help us spread our message. Help us. We need your prayers. We got to pray for the success of what we're trying to do. We need your prayers. Prayers are very important. We need you to promote our Hebrew and English videos when you see them. Please promote them everywhere. We need you to become active on our main pages. JTF.org is the English main page. If you speak Hebrew, hayamim.org is the Hebrew main page. And, of course, we need financial support. Our downfall is the fact that our budget is so limited. That's our downfall. I think we're still accomplishing something, but we could accomplish so much more if we have more help. And so, those great JTFers who are sending us checks and money orders and cash donations to our post office box on a regular basis, God bless you. God bless you. It really does make a difference. Some of our great members prefer to use their credit cards instead online for convenience sake. They don't want to actually have to send the check through the mail. They'd rather do it, or money order or whatever through the mail. They'd rather do it with a credit card online. That's fine too. That's fine. You just go to our PayPal account. How do you access our PayPal account? You go to our Hebrew main page, hayamim.org. And on top, there's a donate button in English. You click on the donate button, and in several minutes, you can very conveniently contribute to us online. We need to work together. We need to fight together as a team, because we still can make a difference, because what we're saying makes sense, and history will prove us right. And so if we reach enough people, and we bring them this important message, and bring it to them as consistently as we possibly can, we can still make a difference. We can still make this a better world. Until next week for JTF, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.